put your records on. Tell me your favorite song.
And welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and 91.5 WKWM NPR for the Florida Keys. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Later on the program, music contributor Bob Weinberg speaks with Jerry Blum about his local blues label, Mosher Street Records, and his latest release documenting Florida blues harp players. Chef Norman Van Aken delivers a word on food, and our Miami-Dade arts calendar features Deborah Margol, deputy director of the Miami-Dade County Department of Cultural Affairs. It's considered old technology, but it refuses to die. Gone are reel-to-reel recorders, 8-tracks, cassettes, and mini discs. But vinyl recordings, the LP, EP, and the 45, have been having quite a resurgence over the past few years. The New York Times said, quote, "These days, every major label and many smaller ones are releasing vinyl. The most major new releases have vinyl versions," unquote. Billboard magazine has said, quote, "Vinyl sales are posting large percentage increases annually and are big business for some niche players," unquote. Vinyl's warm analog sound and the annual International Record Store Day are credited with this resurgence. And with us today to talk about vinyl's comeback, Sweatstock, and tomorrow's 7th annual International Record Store Day is the founder and co-owner of Sweat Records, Ms. Lauren Reskin. And welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat, Lolo.
Hi, Ed. Thanks so much for having me back.
It's always great to have you join us every year. You are still in business, thank goodness, mm-hmm. and vinyl sales are a big part of your success. Tell me why vinyl recordings are still pretty popular.
Well, they're just getting more and more popular, which is great for us and for everybody who's kind of discovering how pleasurable it can be to have a record player in your house, to have a collection of your favorite music on these big, beautiful discs with big, beautiful artwork, and be able to listen to them in a new way that they've never been able to or, you know, just hadn't explored yet. So every week, you know, we meet more and more people who are purchasing their first turntable, digging out their parents' old one, you know, buying one at a thrift shop, etc., and they're starting to, you know, start their first vinyl collection, and it's amazing to get the feedback from these people and see how happy they are and just having this entirely new experience with their music.
It is such a fun multi-tactile experience, albums. You've got a big artwork. You read the liner notes. You don't have to squint for us old guys. Tell us about the turntables. You're celebrating your, what, 9th year in mm-hmm. operation, thank goodness. And you sell turntables.
Yeah, we do. We have a range of them kind of between about $150 and $450. And we sell some really great new ones, especially by this great company called Music Hall, which is based out of New York. And we also carry perfectly refurbished vintage turntables by a local company called Spin Alley. And the guy, Oscar, who runs Spin Alley, is an expert, and he perfectly restores these gorgeous old, you know, kind of suitcase-style ones, console-style ones. And you can buy them at our store. It comes with a full, you know, how-to guide and instructions, and it's really amazing, you know, kind of even conversation piece to have in your house, in addition to being a great way to listen to music.
I go as often as possible to the record and CD show that's produced by John Miller, and it takes place about quarterly, and people bring in their portable record players to sample something that they want to buy, and these things are really great. So the equipment is out there. You don't have to, take out a second mortgage on the house, and it's all available at these wonderful independent record stores. Now, tell me about the overall effect of the annual International Record Store Day. It's big business for you guys, isn't it?
Yeah, it's absolutely our best day of the year, and probably every other store who participates would say the same thing. It's a lot of work, and, you know, it's a big kind of mess in a way, kind of trying to order these hundreds of titles that come out just for this day, but it's incredibly worthwhile. And the Record Store Day was meant to be a celebration of the stores, so that's why we also do Sweatstock, because, you know, it's great to have everyone lining up in the morning for these exclusive releases, but we also want to throw a party and just have people enjoying being in the shop and talking about music and nerding out with other people.
Sweatstock is your all ages, family friendly, multi-stage block party. And you're inside and you're outside. You're inside at Churchill's, and it starts, tomorrow at 9 in the morning. We'll talk more specifically about that. But let's get back to the RSD incentives. And tell me about some of the wonderful releases that are coming out tomorrow that you all will be selling, and these will be selling all across the country, in England and Europe.
Yeah, there's some Record Store Day stuff all happening all across the world. In America, you know, actually, just to participate in general, you have to be a certain kind of independent store. You're not a chain. You're independently owned and operated. And you sign a pledge pledging to adhere to these rules that, you know, you're not going to price gouge your customers. You're not going to reserve stock to sell it online and all these other kind of, you know, crappy things people get up to, unfortunately. And, you know, so instead, you know, all these stores have pledged and we all abide by the rules, I like to think. And so we'll be opening at 9 a.m. and every year we've got just a line of people around the block. People have been waiting for hours to get their hands on these releases because they're limited quantity. They're only available that day. They're only available from a very few amount of stores and then they're gone. And then your next best hope is, you know, trying to pick one up on eBay for 10 times the price. So, you know, we try to keep things as fair as possible and we're really excited. There's well over 400 RSD releases this year, might be up to 500. I'm not quite sure. They didn't do an official count, but we have been ordering and ordering and ordering, and we are stocked up. And, you know, we've got some really amazing stuff. There's reissues from, you know, Joy Division, their first ever EP that they put out. That's coming out as a reissue tomorrow. Outkast, famous hip hop group, their first album is coming out on an 180 gram repress of vinyl, which, you know, hip hop fans will be super excited about.
As good as you can get in the vinyl market, 180 gram.
Yeah, there's 200s, but those are very rare. They're like metal mastered, but that gets into super nerd territory. there are just so many releases coming out.
Tell me about the Jocko one. I'm excited that there's going to be some unpublished Jocko material available tomorrow.
Yeah, there's some old tapes. I believe it was called, and it's coming out on CD and vinyl, and that's one of what they call the first release Record Store Day titles, because they'll be available after the fact, but they come out tomorrow for the first time.
Any other special releases you're excited about?
There's a lot.
There is. And you go to sweatrecordsmiami.com for quite a comprehensive list, I believe.
Well, the full list is on recordstoreday.com, and they have a handy PDF and a huge website that has lots of information about all the releases and pictures and info about the formats and everything. So you can kind of go down there and, you know, browse around. It'll take you quite some time because, you know, there's definitely a lot of stuff to look at. And, you know, it's really great to see so many labels participating.
So Lauren celebrates her fifth year of holding Sweatstock, producing it. That's tomorrow. It starts at 9 a.m. And the doors open up early for the Record Store Day exclusives, of course, and tons of great bands starting on the awesome Foundation Street stage at 2 o'clock and inside the Churchill stage at 2 o'clock. A free Panther coffee, and you got a lot of fun things going on. The back patio at Churchill's is open. Good to catch Churchill's before impending doom.
There's not impending doom. It's changing management, and, you know, we don't know exactly what's going to happen yet, but we know it's staying a venue, so that's a great first piece of information to have. So we're not pessimistic here. We're optimistic.
Right. Very good. Very good. Tell us about some of the bands appearing tomorrow in your street party.
Well, we've got our main stage outside, which runs from 2 p.m. to 11 p.m., and everyone's welcome to that. It's basically a pop-up music festival. We put up a giant stage mobile. We've got graphics and comedians between bands and DJs between bands, and some of the acts we have are really cool this year. We have AJ Davila, who's a garage rocker from San Juan, Puerto Rico, and he just came off of a bunch of great shows at South by Southwest, and he's been first listen on NPR and gotten a lot of other great press. His album's fantastic. I highly recommend everyone checking him out. We have another great band from Jacksonville called the Sun Bears. They're really cool, kind of Flaming Lipsy, psychedelic pop. They've had music featured on Yo Gabba Gabba, and they're really fun live. So, and then in addition to them, we have a ton of amazing local acts. Telekinetic Walrus are really fun, kind of They're really hard to describe. They're kind of experimental pop with elements of hip-hop and beatboxing and electronic noise manipulation, but I've seen them live, and they really put on a great show. We have folk music, we have Bows and Ties, we have pop from My Dear, we have Eons, who actually just played Ultra, we have so many bands. And then next door at Churchill's, from 2 p.m. until the wee hours, there's probably about 30 bands playing. We kind of are doing a two-stage thing over there where as soon as one band finishes, the next one takes over. And there's just great acts playing all day long. Orb Weaver,
tell me about
the Jellyfish Brothers.
Los Bastardos Magnificos.
Yeah, I was actually really proud that this year we can say every band's name on the air, whereas last year there were some profanities that precluded that. So yeah, no, there's the Audio Junkie stage. Audio Junkie are a local group that make music videos and documentaries about local bands, and they're really great guys, and they've curated the whole stage, and there's a great handful of bands, all kinds of music. It'll be really interesting and really fun.
Go to sweatrecordsmiami.com for more info. Of course, Sweat Records located at 5505 Northeast 2nd Avenue in Little Haiti in Miami. You can also call them directly at 786-693-9309. You can also go online for performance lists, all sorts of stuff. Check out the new t-shirt celebrating Sweatstock, and we will be back with Ms. Lauren Reskin. Lolo, in just a moment on our second segment here on South Florida Arts Beat. Stay with us. Welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat, 20 minutes past the hour. Ed Bell with you and our guest, Lauren Reskin of Sweat Records. Sweat Records having their big day tomorrow. Sweatstock from 9 a.m. until the wee hours. And Lauren has been kind enough to bring us some of her top picks, as they used to say. That's the music of Holly Hunt. Tell me about Holly Hunt.
Holly Hunt are an awesome local duo who make sort of really elegant instrumental metal, and you know, there's a stereotype of Miami, and you know, people think we only have a couple certain kinds of music, but there really is a huge amount of diversity here, as you know, definitely. And so Holly Hunt are great, and for Record Store Day, they actually are putting out a special limited edition EP called Prometheus, and the artwork is just gorgeous. It's actually a drawing by the drummer of the band, Beatrice Montevaro, who's actually a fine artist in her own right. Mm. So it's a really beautiful piece of vinyl put out by two local labels, Other Electricities and Sonic Titan, and it looks great, and us and Radioactive in Fort Lauderdale are going to be the only places tomorrow to get the copy before they go out on tour and start selling them.
All right. So exclusives and collectibles.
Mm-hmm.
And why aren't you into vinyl?
Yeah.
Let's hear one more track, if you would please, Andy Wagner. You brought us a nice CD, chock full of some interesting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This gal is a local favorite, and she's got some new material out, huh? Exciting.
Off of her new I'm not sure if it's an EP or an album, but it's called Baby, Now We're Even, and you can get it right now on iTunes, and soon it'll be available on CD and on beautiful yellow vinyl at Sweat. And she's a
Rachel
great...
Rachel Goodrich.
Yeah, she's just fantastic, and she keeps getting better and better. I know the future has really good things in store for her, and, you know, I know she played live in Miami last night. She's visiting, and, you know, I hope I can catch her again soon because her live shows are always a ton of fun, too.
Do I hear some of her music on TV shows? I think so, or commercials or something like that. She's really doing very well in that commercial area.
Yeah, she's definitely gotten some placements. I think a light, bright sort of toy used one of her songs called Light Bulb, which was very appropriate. So that's great for her.
All right, let's not forget Sweat Stock tomorrow. It starts at 9 a.m. at Sweat Records, 5505 Northeast 2nd Avenue in Miami. Lauren Reskin, our guest today. SweatRecordsMiami.com, or for more specific info about Record Store Day, recordstoreday.com. You can call Sweat Records at 786-693-9309. And our last cut. Group was just featured at Ultrafest.
Yeah, they're called Eons, and they're another local group, and they do kind of a blend between organic pop and rock with a lot of, you know, pretty atmospheric electronics, and they will be playing the main stage at Sweatstock in the evening, and it'll be real pretty to see them playing as the sun goes down.
So it's going to be quite a great Sweatstock, your fifth, as we say. You got a great staff helping you out with this, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Just want to shout out to Team Sweat because they're so great. Emily, who runs the store and buys all the music, she's fantastic. We have Jason, Farah, Ale, and Bootsy just, you know, kicking butt all year long, making the store great. You know, it's they make working there just so worthwhile, and they're awesome people, and I love them. And just want to thank real quick Awesome Foundation Miami, Ben and Jerry's Kind Bar, Spotify Churchill's, Emerge Miami, Borscht Corp, and Panther Coffee, Brian Butler, a bunch of awesome people who have all just donated time and money to help Sweatstock happen. It really is a labor of love. And, you know, I grew up here and there wasn't a lot of cool stuff to do when I was underage and as far as going to clubs and stuff and shows was concerned. So we hope everyone brings the coolest teenager they know out to Sweatstock and helps them realize that in Miami there are things for them to do. There is a cool local scene, and, you know, we'd love to expose people to a lot of local music that day.
You all have a lot of stuff going on throughout any given month. Tell us about some of the events you have. Your brother's a great comedian. He's doing stuff. And
yeah, we have events year-round at Sweat. Every second Tuesday is Casa de Jaja, our free local stand-up comedy showcase that my brother Daniel Reskin hosts. It's a real fun kind of casual comedy night, 8 to 10, easy weeknight kind of thing. And we have live music year-round. Every Tuesday evening at 7, Emerge Miami meets, and they're a great group of local kind of social activists with lots of, you know, positive things they do in the community, a lot of bike rides and stuff. And actually, at Sweatstock, they'll be running a bike valet. So if you would like to ride your bike to Sweatstock, they will watch your bike for you and you don't have to worry about it. So that's a really cool thing they're doing for us, and we love them. And yeah, just, you know, stay tuned to our social media stuff. We're at Sweatstock, or sorry, we're at Sweat Records on everything. You can always find us. We post pictures. We give away concert tickets. We're just out and about. And, you know, we have a lot of resources for local acts too. If you make a really, you know, if you make a CD or a record, we'll sell it for you, and we'll sell it on our website as well.
Always supportive of local musicians.
Gotta be. They're doing the work, and we love them for it.
Lauren Reskin has built quite a wonderful music support community in Sweat Records, 5505 Northeast 2nd Avenue, Miami. Call 786-693-9309 or go to sweatrecordsmiami.com. Recordstoreday.com for more info and more info on those special items that will come out in independent record stores all over the country and in Europe tomorrow. Let me mention again the wonderful record and CD show that is quarterly, produced by John Miller. You can get in touch with him at oldies@bellsouth.net or call 954-815-7625. If you're a vinyl holic like Lauren and me. Lauren, thanks so much for joining us today. And good luck on Sweatstock.
Thank you, Ed. Thanks so much.
Welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Coming up on the program, Chef Norman Van Aken serves up a word on food, and our Miami-Dade Arts Calendar features Deborah Margol, Deputy Director of the Miami-Dade County Department of Cultural Affairs. Documenting South Florida's prolific blues music scene is a labor of love for the local label Mosher Street Records. Here's music contributor Bob Weinberg to tell us more about the label and their latest release.
Well, I'm going down in Florida.
With his well-worn hat, tinted shades, and salt-and-pepper goatee, Jerry Bloom is a familiar figure to South Florida blues fans. In fact, Bloom may just be the number one South Florida blues fan, popping up at festivals, concerts, and clubs wherever his favorite music is played, and tirelessly promoting his heroes past and present. But Bloom, who retired from his long career as lead software developer with American Express in 2005, is more than just a super fan. Not only did he tour as part of the road crew with former South Florida blues star Josh Smith, but he also has produced four volumes and counting of his Showcasing the Blues series on his own Mosher Street Records. Bloom's concept focuses on our region's deep blues talent, providing an impressive snapshot of the bands who've honed their skills night after night on area stages. Some have achieved international fame, some remain neighborhood favorites. Some are recent Florida transplants, while still others have left the state for bluer pastures. On the latest edition of Showcasing the Blues, subtitled Harp Blowin' Blues from South Florida and the first double album in the series, Bloom compiles tracks from some of the Sunshine State's mightiest harmonica players. The mix includes seasoned vets such as Billy Burns, Cadillac Chuck, John Harris of Fabulous Fleetwood's fame, and Jumpin' Jack Blooney of the Big City Blues Band. And younger virtuosos such as Nico Wayne Toussaint and R.J. Harmon prove that the mouth harp tradition is in very good hands. A charter member of the South Florida Blues Society, Bloom recently spoke with South Florida Arts Beat at the WLRN studios. Jerry Bloom, welcome to South Florida Arts Beat.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's great to see you. As I've often said, you're one of the most identifiable guys on the blues scene. We always see you at the blues festivals and various concerts and clubs around town. We can tell that it's a labor of love for you. You always seem to be really enjoying what you're doing.
It's all about the musicians to me, you know. It's not me, it's them. To get their music out, listen, and get the people out to support them and the clubs, because that's important. Without the clubs, they have no place to play. And we have such a talent base down here of all styles. When people from out of town talk about South Florida, he says, you must have 15 or 16 great venues that your bands can rotate around and play. We've got one where we have to drive 30 miles. Right. You're 10 minutes away from some of these clubs this day. I said, that's correct.
Right, and some of our local guys have done so well on the national and international stages, and so I guess people assume that there must be this healthy blues environment down here, and there is. There's certainly a fan base, but the clubs are fewer and far between.
I like when Albert Castilla says it, and from the blues capital of the world, I'm from Wilton Manors.
Well, speaking of which, you're originally from Baltimore, correct?
Yes, I am.
So did you grow up listening to blues and R&B?
Yeah, my dad had a clothing store in the inner city, And I grew up there, and there was all this neighborhood music, sitting on the steps and singing all the music from back then. So I got into that as an early age, and I used to work in his store, and I picked up that music there and just listened to that. And we had great radio stations up there listening to the R&B music and that. And then I went to the University of Maryland, and then I started following all the great music in Georgetown, going down to the great clubs there, hanging out on M Street. I used to enjoy just going on there on Friday and Saturday night to get away from the university and listening to the wealth of music between jazz and blues. And I was into the rock, of course, there. But we're talking about in the 60s there.
Right.
And
so you must have seen
the great entertainment yes. going on down there. But I had what I call my religious experience to the blues when my buddy, who worked at Channel 4 WRC on a Friday night, calls me, and they had a local TV show Saturday morning, and said, "Jerry, we've got this blues guitar player coming in for the show. Let's go down and check him out." I said, "What's his name?" He said, "Some guy named Albert King." I said, "Well, I've heard of him. I've listened to him." And I went down there, and we went down there, and he pulled up in his Cadillac convertible, green silk suit, carrying the Flying V with his pipe, the nicest guy you ever want to meet. 2 minutes into his first song, I said, "This is my music. This style of blues, that single right, note right. with the vocals and the way Albert did it." I said, "Rock and roll, you're second fiddle to this."
So we should mention M Street now. Was that Mosher Street that we're talking about?
M Street was in Georgetown, Washington, D.C.
Oh, I see.
Okay. And Mosher Street was where my dad's store was, and I named my record company in tribute to that building there after that.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So that's Mosher how the name Street came, Mosher Street Records.
Well, that's a Baltimore, Baltimore
that's
reference.
That's a Baltimore thing.
Okay. Now, you've just put out your fourth volume of Showcasing the Blues, this latest one dedicated to all the great harmonica players that are either in South Florida. There's a few guys who've since moved on from South Florida, and then a few, I guess we could consider them honorary South Floridians.
Well, they play so much because the weather's great here. They love to come here in the wintertime, and they're playing a lot around the state there. But my brother and I came up with this idea too. We did guitars on volume three, and we said, you know, my brother Dave says, you know, what about harp players? I said, do you know how many harp players there are in South Florida? Well, we started the project, and I started collecting the music, and I went over to Blues Bobby's house, who has a wall of CDs of everybody.
Yes.
And he started pulling all these CDs out of all the great bands and the harp players. And I started putting the music together. And before you know it, I'm up to 12, then 15. I exceeded the time on one CD. I had to go to a double CD.
Sure. And we should also mention that Blues Bobby is Blues Bobby Weinberg. Right. No relation to me personally, but he runs the South Florida Blues Society, of which you're a charter member.
And I always go to him and Dar to verify for the newer CDs. This is what I want to put out there. Is that okay in your opinion?
Sure. So. And we're talking to Jerry Bloom today, who has put out four volumes of the Showcasing the Blues series of South Florida blues artists. And Jerry was just telling us about these wonderful compilations and the brand new one, which focuses on harmonica players. And we've got some great veterans like Billy Burns on here, Cadillac Chuck. Were these some of the guys that you saw first when you came to South Florida?
Yes, I saw Billy Burns when he first started playing with Big Bob at the Blue Tornadoes at Cheers back in the 90s. And I knew this guy can play. And then Cadillac Chuck, he's been around forever.
Going back to the groove things.
That's right. And, you know, and John Harris and the Fabulous Fleetwoods.
Sure.
They just celebrated 35 years of playing in South Florida.
Wow.
I mean, that band's been around. You know, like the Knucklebusters and those guys, they've been around forever. And Nick Trill, another great harp player, has been around.
Sure.
And I started making a list of all these great players and the people who come down to Florida a lot. And before you know it, I got 28 songs.
Right,
so
right.
I split it between two CDs,
two
14
CDs.
And 14. And putting them in the sequence, you know, a couple fast songs and then a slow one, that was the hardest part. Getting the music was easy. But I always got the permission from every one of these of the song that I was using, and they agreed to that, and that worked out great.
Well, what is a great showcase? And I know you mentioned to me earlier about a couple of upcoming projects that sound very exciting, one being Joey Gilmore's new CD that's coming out, and you're the executive producer of that. Do you know when we can expect to see that one?
Well, Joey's leaving for China. He's going on a two-week tour. When he gets back, we're going to go into the studio at Mark Lauren's 42nd Street Studio, which is a great studio. And that's where I did my Hip Cop Boo Daddy CD. Long time coming there, so yes. Mark's great. And we've got the music for Joey, stuff that people have not heard him play before. And all he needs to do is rehearse.
Wow, excellent.
And not in the studio. And we're going to go in there and we're going to lay down 12 or 13 songs with Joey and put that out.
And another project that you had mentioned was a tribute CD to one of our great Miami-based songwriters, Graham Wood Drought of Ico Ico. And I know a lot of people will be very excited about hearing this one. Can you tell us a little bit about that project?
Well, about 6 weeks ago, AJ Kelly, the great bass player who's down here, and he comes up to me and says, "Jerry, I got a great idea for you for Showcasing the Blues Volume 5. I said, "What's that?" "Feature the music of Graham Wood Drought." I said, "Oh my God, do you know how much music is out there? The things that he's written and people have done between Ico Ico, Albert Castilla and him.
Joey Gilmore.
And Joey Gilmore and all." And I went to Graham and I said, "Graham, what do you think of this idea?" And he says, "Take it and run with it. It's a great idea." So sometime next year in 2015, that's going to be the next release for Showcasing the Blues. And I gave all the bands warning. You guys got about a year head start. Get me one really good track that you can do, studio quality of a Graham Wood Drought song, and you'll be on the CD.
Excellent. Can't wait to hear that one, Jerry. And also, we should just mention the dedication to Volume 4 of the blues series. We had a bunch of our blues brothers, for lack of a better word, who passed away over the last year or so, one being Sean Gurevitz, the great bass player with the Hep Cat Boo Daddies. A lot of us knew him as Evil. Right. And, of course, that name doesn't apply because he was such a great guy.
And a great friend of mine. And, you know, I wanted to attribute the music to him, even though he wasn't in with the harp style, but with that. And then the other guys that were on there,
Mike Beeson.
Michael Beeson, you know, he knew that he wasn't going to make it. This was his fifth battling cancer. And I said, "Michael," I met him at Rosie Babies about 2 months before he passed away. I said, "I need a track from you. I want to put you on the CD and feature your music." And he went into the studio with his band and made that song for that.
Wow, fantastic.
Bob Abernathy was a great keyboard player for Joey Gilmore.
Yes.
Been here for years.
And we've got Pat Ramsey, who also contributed a track.
Yes. He passed away about 3 years ago, but he played all over Florida. And he's inspiration for Jason Ritchie and Billy Gibson. If you talk to those guys, he was their guru who taught them that technique, how to play that way. And then Jimmy Pagano, he was a really good drummer. Did a lot of charitable work down here. And I wanted to make sure people do not forget Jimmy.
Well, once again, as you said before, that's kind of your mission statement, is to make sure that these guys are celebrated in their time.
Yes. I mean, a lot of these guys don't have the money to put out a CD.
Yeah.
And if they can give me one or two tracks and I can put that on there and get the music out so people can hear what wealth of talent we have down here in South Florida, that's my mission.
Well, Jerry, thank you so much for being with us today. I really enjoyed speaking with you, as always. And, of course, best of luck with all the upcoming projects.
Well, it's a pleasure being here, WLRN. And I've known you for years from the Musicians Exchange days. And
that's right.
We're just trying to let the people know this is our music.
Great. Thanks again, Jerry.
Thank you.
For more information about Jerry Blum, Mosher Records, and the Showcasing the Blues series, please visit parklaneprod.com. You can also reach him at geojerry@aol.com. Showcasing the Blues is also available at CD Baby, Amazon, and iTunes. This is Bob Weinberg for South Florida Arts Beat.
Bob Weinberg is a writer and editor for Jazz Is Magazine and the online publication Jazz and Blues Florida. You can contact him at bobweinberg@mac.com. Please stay with us. South Florida Arts Beat will continue here on WLRN and WKWM in just a moment.
In the backyard and sit down under the old orange tree.
Welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Ed Bell with you. And now, Chef Norman Van Aken gives us a word on food.
I don't want French fried potatoes, red ripe tomatoes. I'm never satisfied. I want the frim-fram sauce with the os and fade, with shafafa on the side. Shoot-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo.
Hi, I'm Norman Van Aken, and welcome to A Word on Food. Today's word on food is fermented black beans. I remember looking at a can of soy sauce one day in the storeroom of Louis' backyard kitchen, and printed upon it were these words, established in 1250. As in the year 1250. My Lord, I muttered to no one else, that's an old company. I didn't know the half of it. Soy products, of which soy sauce is simply the most obvious, have been around in pretty much the same form since the 6th century. And fermented black beans are probably the first known soy product. These beans are ancient stuff, my friends. In 165 BC, they were placed, clearly marked, in Han Tomb No. 1 in south-central China. The tomb was sealed for eons and first opened in 1972. The high-ranking lady whom the heretofore undisturbed tomb belonged to was probably the wife of the first Marquis of Tai. Not to be confused with our wonderful Latin Caribbean black beans, fermented black beans, a.k.a. frijoles negros, are ready to use from their plastic bag pouch they are kept and sold in. They are also known as duchi, which shows the Chinese connection. Avoid any canned products. I like the Pearl River Bridge and Yangjiang brands, the latter in the bright mustard yellow cardboard container, similar in shape to oatmeal, only a tad smaller. They will keep indefinitely in the refrigerator, but the point is to use them. Fermented black beans are a salt delivery system of the first order, but its freight is wrapped in a veritable kimono of ancient Japanese mystic umami. The great food scientist Harold McGee explains it as well as one can. He writes, since there are only a few genuine tastes, sensations on the tongue, not the nose, certainly salt contributes the overall complexity and balance of flavor. Heady stuff when you take that sentence in grain by grain. He enigmatically adds, sorry there is not a neater answer, though maybe it's good to retain some mystery in such a basic matter. The first question when using fermented black beans in a recipe is, to rinse or not to rinse. Though called fermented black beans primarily, they are also known as salted black beans. My advice? It's up to you, really. If you don't rinse them, be certain to avoid any other extra salt in the recipe you are creating. Other variables come into the dialogue as well. To mash or not? To chop or not? But let's not get flustered. There are many things eternally true about cuisine, and one is that personal preferences are okay. How do you learn which are yours? You cook. So don an apron over your kimono with me. Fermented black beans can be used in countless dishes. Pork riblets carry enough fat to balance the salt. Clams in a mirin-sweetened broth ride a salty wave, but what a thrill. Tofu is an easy partner due to the blandness tofu should rightfully be praised for. I have a dish on my menu where I lightly rinse them, roughly chop them, and combine them in a saucepan with ginger, sake, rice wine, vinegar, and garlic. I reduce them together, add a touch of chicken stock, and a smaller touch of butter. This goes as one of the sauces with my deep-fried sushi, something they didn't feature in the 6th century. I'm Norman Van Aken, and that's my word on food.
Norman Van Aken is the author of My Key West, and is also the director of restaurants for the Miami Culinary Institute and Tuyo in downtown Miami. Please tune in tomorrow morning at 8:34 on Weekend Edition to hear Sopa de Pollo. And here's our South Florida Arts Beat entertainment calendar. And today we welcome back Deborah Margold, Deputy Director of the Miami-Dade County Department of Cultural Affairs. Great to have you back, Debbie.
I love it as always, Ed. I'm thrilled to be here and have lots to share, so I'm going to dive right in.
Please.
So beginning today at 2 and 8 p.m. and then tomorrow also a matinee at 2 p.m., the Adrian Arsh Center for the Performing Arts is presenting Shen Yun, which brings to life 5,000 years of Chinese culture and civilization. It features colorful and incredible performance and dance, classical Chinese music, and beautiful live orchestra performances and animated backdrops. It's really just a complete sensory experience for eyes and ears not to be missed, and that's, of course, today and tomorrow at the Adrian Arts Center for the Performing Arts right here in downtown Miami. Tonight at the Lightbox at Goldman Warehouse, Miami Light Project is presenting Timur and the Dime Museum. That's Timur Bekbosunov, the rising opera star from Kazakhstan, leading his fierce, dark glam opera band Timur and the Dime in a mega-dimensional fusion of avant-garde, pop, and vaudeville sounds. Believe it or not, now there's a mix, and is really going to be spectacular, and that's tonight at the Lightbox at Goldman Warehouse in Wynwood. Also tonight, it's another edition of Your and My Favorite, Big Night in Little Haiti at the Little Haiti Cultural Center. Tonight, featuring Ra Ra Kuyu and Universal Soul Love. Also on the bill is the band Ja Ra Ra from Brooklyn. And between sets, you can rock out with DJ Frankie Mix-a-Lot. In the gallery at the Little Haiti Cultural Center, there's an exhibition by the Oscar Thomas Foundation, open studios next door at the Haitian Cultural Arts Alliance, a rocking after-party at 7th Circuit with Moksha Roots All-Stars and special guests, and, of course, delicious Creole cuisine all night long from Lila's Laque, and that's tonight at the Little Haiti Cultural Center in Little Haiti. Also, tomorrow night at the South Miami-Dade Cultural Arts Center, the Dranoff International Two Piano Foundation is presenting duo pianists Sar Ahuvia and Stephanie Ho in a program they've titled Jazz Squared. The music performed will feature Gershwin, Dizzy Gillespie, Bill Evans, and a world premiere by composer Martin Bejarano. And it's going to be a spectacular night of great duo pianism down at the South Miami-Dade Cultural Arts Center down in Cutler Bay. Also, next weekend, there's some incredible, wonderful musical things to enjoy, too, beginning with Viernes Culturales, Cultural Fridays. That's the monthly music and arts festival all along Calle Ocho between 13th and 18th Avenues. The centerpiece is at Domino Plaza, which is at 15th Avenue and 8th Street, and features a night long of great art, great music, contemporary works on display in the galleries. The City of Miami actually offers free trolley service from Mary Brickell Village and the Brickell Metro Rail Station to the heart of the Viernes Culturales Festival every 15 minutes, so there's no excuse not to go. And at the same time, there's another phenomenal festival going on in Wynwood called the Wynwood Life Festival, a cultural street festival. And Miami-Dade College Live Arts is presenting at the festival Baloji and L'Orchestra de la Katube. And Baloji, which means sorcerer in Swahili, is a fitting name for this man who has transformed himself from one of the most successful MCs from the French scene into a producer, musician, rapper, and an all-around kind of musical wizard, I guess. He takes his cues from hip-hop to classical Congolese rumba and 60s soul, and it's an unbelievable fusion and incredible performance. And that's tonight also at the Wynwood Life Festival, right in the heart of Wynwood, at the stage on Northeast 38th Street. Okay, so here's one for you, Ed. I thought you and I figured out how to be in two places at once, but I really genuinely now know that Mary Luft has got us beat, because she is presenting programs next Friday and Saturday night, the 25th and 26th of April, one at Miami-Dade County Auditorium and one at the Colony Theater. Mm. So how she's doing this, you got me, but they're both extraordinary, and it's part of her Fla Fra Festival, the Florida France Festival that she's presenting. On Friday and Saturday night at Miami-Dade County Auditorium in Little Havana, she's presenting noted French dancer and choreographer Myriam Gorfink, who has become one of Europe's leading contemporary choreographers. So it's pretty intense stuff, really phenomenal. And that's next Friday and Saturday night, the 25th and 26th at Miami-Dade County Auditorium. At the same time, she will somehow be presenting and covering another performance over on Miami Beach at the Colony Theater of Cédric Andrieux. And this is a renowned contemporary dancer, and that's part of Tiger Tail Productions' Fla Fra Festival, Florida France Festival. Also next Sunday, the 27th, Miami International Piano Festival presents its Classical Sundays at 5 series, and they're featuring renowned Russian pianist Pavel Nersessian, and he will be performing works by Schubert and Liszt at the Aventura Arts and Cultural Center at 5 p.m. on Sunday, the 27th. Also on Sunday the 27th, it's Sunday Afternoons of Music for Children, presenting Ballet is Beautiful at 3 p.m. at the Gusman Concert Hall at University of Miami. And this will feature leading dancers from our very own and incredibly renowned Miami City Ballet. And finally, I'll close with a reminder that we're in the final days of a couple of major exhibits in town. The Art of Panama exhibit at the Art Lab at the Lowe Museum at the University of Miami, The Birth of Rome, as well as Echoes and Origins, Italian Interwar Design, and the Murals of Eiji Santagata exhibits at the Wilsonian on FIU on Miami Beach, the American Sculpture in the Tropics at the Frost Museum of Art and FIU Sculpture Park on the main campus of FIU, and Americana, as well as the selections from the collection of Ruth and Marvin Sackner at the Perez Art Museum in Miami, right here in downtown Miami, are all on their final weeks. So if you've been waiting to go see those exhibits, you better hurry up and get out there.
Debbie, where can we get more information about these and other arts events?
As always, please check our website. It's miamidadearts.org. All one word, miamidadearts.org.
That's the wonderfully informative Deborah Margol, Deputy Director of the Miami-Dade County Department of Cultural Affairs. Great weekend, and thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Ed.
Let me also mention our first guest today, Sweat Records owner Lauren Reskin, DJs at the Rose Bar in the Delano Hotel. That's at 17th and Collins on Miami Beach. She's there every Wednesday night from 9 to midnight, and you might hear some of the great music she brought us today. Also, the Frost School of Music at the University of Miami's New Horizons Band will be in performance Saturday, April 26th from 10 a.m. till 11 a.m. at the Fillmore Rehearsal Hall on campus in Coral Gables. It's a free event, family-friendly. You can call 305-284-6252, 305-284-6252. For more information, make that call during normal business hours, Monday through Friday. As well, CultureShockMiami.com gives students ages 13 through 22 very inexpensive tickets to the best cultural arts events in Miami-Dade County. A second very inexpensive ticket can be purchased for an individual of any age to join them. You might think about treating your mom on Mom's Day. For more info, go to CultureShockMiami.com or call 305-375-1949 for more info. We'll rebroadcast South Florida Arts Beat tonight and every Friday night at 7 o'clock on our WLRN Extra HD channel. You can tune in on your HD radio or go to our website at WLRN.org for more information. And that's today's edition of South Florida Arts Beat. We hope you enjoyed the show. Adrian Kennedy is our executive producer. I'm Ed Bell, producer and host. Our theme was composed by Mike Levine and performed by Mike and Sam Levine. Paul Leary is our online producer. Special thanks to our technical director today, Andy Wagner, and our contributors, Bob Weinberg, Norman Van Aken, and Jody Horn Leshinsky. Please call us with your comments, 305-995-2258. Fax us your event information, 305-995-2221, or email it to us at info@WLRN.org. We'd like to hear from you. Monday at this time, we featured Topical Currents with hosts Joseph Cooper and Bonnie Berman, Monday at 1 o'clock. Have yourself a great holiday weekend, and as always, please keep your dial set right here to 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Until next time, this is Ed Bell saying bye-bye. Enjoy.